Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, The Universal Blueprint for Building a Healthy Family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop. Today, my producer and I have a very special one-time interactive show specifically designed to get your input so we can make Parents Tool Talk Radio meet your needs. If you haven't already, I want you to go out and get the survey that you're going to be using throughout the show. You can just go and click the link in today's show description at parentstooltalk.com, or you can open up a new browser window in the internet and type in www.snipurl.com/radio survey. That's www.snipurl.com/radio survey. And while you're going to get the survey, I'm going to explain how today's show will work because it's a little bit different. As you may know, last month was our premiere episode of Parents Tool Talk Internet Radio Show, and we learned three very important lessons. One was that this new technology was a lot more unpredictable and labor-intensive than we expected. Second, we realized that a radio show usually has a completely different format from the teleseminars that I've been providing for the last year or so. So I needed to do some adjusting in terms of how I do the show. Third, and this was the best surprise, was that about 100 times more people were listening to an internet radio show than our teleseminar because they didn't have to make a long-distance call. That's right. I mean, we usually had like maybe 1 to 8 people on the live teleseminars and no way to know how many people were listening later. But last month's radio show, our first show ever, which we didn't even advertise to anybody except for the Parents Tool Shop mailing list, has now had over 100 people listening to it either live or later. So clearly this is a good way to connect with all of the parents around the world who do support Parents Tool Shop, but we have some decisions to make, and that's where we want you to help us out. I'm still deciding if I want to do the radio show, if so, how I'm going to do it, how I want the format, and that's really what I want your input on. I've been thinking about a lot of different ideas for some different formats that you might enjoy, but I'm not really sure which ones, and I don't want to make the decision for you. So kind of getting into the holiday spirit with the whole, in America, the whole Thanksgiving theme of turkey days and cornucopias and the harvest, I've pulled together a cornucopia of content and format samples. So what I'm going to do, and with the help of my producer, Chris Gooley, is during the first half of the show, we're going to play several clips, maybe just 1 to 5 minutes. None of them are longer than 5 minutes, and they're different format options. Now, almost all of them will give you some kind of information on a different type of parenting issue. So you will be getting content, you will be getting some information, and you can take notes on that, but each one is presented in a little bit of a different format. The last 20 minutes is going to be a live Q&A session. Like I know a lot of you like to get the live question and answer. So go ahead and jot your questions down now, and I'll give you information how you can call in those questions. You can also put them into the chat, and we can hold on to those until the end of the call, and we'll do those towards the end. So what we're going to do during the first half is after every segment, you're going to go to that survey, and you're going to give each segment a 1 to 4 star rating. And if you missed the directions in the beginning of the call, if maybe you just now tuned in, you can get the survey by clicking the link in today's show description at parentstooltalk.com, or just open a new browser window and type in www.snipurl, that's snipurl.com/radio survey, RadioSurvey. If you're not online, excuse me, if you aren't online, just grab a sheet of paper and number it 1 to 9, and you can record your ratings after you hear the segments, and then later on you can go online and you can enter your ratings, and then there's just 3 other really quick questions if you can answer those then. So we can take up to 100 responses on the survey, so the first 100 listeners who complete the survey will get a special $10 thank you gift certificate, and you can use that on anything at the Parents Tool Shop online store. We do have a lot of resources that are $10, so essentially you can get some free resources that normally would cost you. So if you will, go to the survey now. Last time I'll tell it, it's you can click the link in today's show description at parentstooltalk.com or type in www.snipurl.com/radio survey. Okay, so let me check in. And Chris, my producer, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Jody.
Yay. All right. Well, I first of all want to thank Chris. He has done an amazing job pulling together a lot of these pre-recorded segments. So, if we wanted to create more technology for ourselves, this was the radio show session that we've done it. If anything could go wrong, this is the one it will. And I'll tell you what, if we make it through this, then I think we've conquered the technology. So,
I think
first
so too.
Of all, Chris, yes. Thank you very much, Chris, for all the hard work. I know you're working right up to the time of going on to the show. So are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready.
Okay, good.
I am ready.
Good. Then let's get started. Actually, the first rating that you're going to give, and if you're in the survey, you see question one has the different segments. You're going to give your 1 to 4 star rating. The first rating, actually, that you're going to give is on the radio show intro, where you heard that clip in the very beginning, right at the top of the hour, where we have the intro music and Chris, our producer, introduces the show and me, the host. I believe last week it was a little bit longer. Didn't you shorten it, Chris?
Actually, I didn't have to shorten it, Jody. The intro from last week was 1 minute in length, and so I just reused that intro. So this
okay,
is actually
great.
The same intro.
Okay, great. So if you recall from last week, if you were here at the top of this hour, if you happen to just now be joining us, all you have to do is at the end of the show, go back and click on parentstooltalk.com. It'll start to play automatically and you can hear that again. So if you didn't have the survey open before, you can go back and rate that later. So we aren't going to play it again. We already played it, but that's actually number one for what you're going to rate. So next, and this is our first sample that we have that was pre-recorded, is actually a sample of me being interviewed, and it's actually an excerpt from the very first radio show test that we did that we didn't even publicly air. Chris was the producer and the host that time, and he actually surprised me when I came on the call and said he wanted to interview me. So you really get to hear me off-the-cuff answers to some questions that I don't know that too many people have asked me before. So it's a good interview. We've just got a very quick, I think it's what, maybe 5 minutes, Chris?
6 minutes.
Okay, it's a 6-minute clip. And there might be some information that you haven't heard about me or the Parents Tool Shop before. So Chris, go ahead and roll that clip.
Okay. Well, can you tell us a little bit about the content that you were teaching in those classes, and I'm guessing that's what eventually became the Parents Tool Shop book, correct?
Yeah, but before I even got into that job, there's during the time, it kind of goes back into more of a historical issue to see where that comes from, because both of my parents were parent educators while I was growing up. I'm only aware of 3 other people in the world who are second-generation parent educators. So while I was growing up, my parents were teaching parenting classes, and then when I went to college and came out and was working as a social worker and people knew that I had that background, they started tapping me to do parenting classes. Because this was back in the early 80s, and there still really wasn't much available at that time. So I started doing parenting classes somewhat through my job as a caseworker, but not so much there. It was more when I quit my job and was a stay-at-home mom. In the evenings, I was getting asked through the stay-at-home mom organization that I had started to do parenting classes, and I opened those up to the community. And at that point, I was teaching the two curriculum that my parents taught, which was PET, Parent Effectiveness Training, and STEP, Systematic Training for Effective Parenting. And there were a few other books out at that point. This was around 86. And Faber and Maslisch with How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk, Active Parenting by Michael Popkin, and there were a couple of new ones, Jay Nelson with Positive Parenting, and also Barbara Coloroso with Kids Are Worth It. And so that's about six or seven different curriculum, and each one of them had valuable stuff. There was a lot of crossover and duplication, but each one of them had something a little bit different. So when I first started teaching parenting classes, I was asking parents to buy two or three different books, and I'd ask them to read a chapter out of this and a chapter out of that. And then I started pulling together, just through the for the purpose of giving the reading assignments, started piecing together the best order to read things and all of that. That was the beginning of the Universal Blueprint, because I first realized that it was important for parents to learn the skills in a certain order. Because, for example, all the parents wanted to talk about discipline the first night, but there was a lot of foundational information that if they didn't get that right, their discipline wouldn't work. They wouldn't get the same kind of results. So I really started realizing that. So I started teaching it in a particular order, but there were still all these different books. So I had gotten down what was the best order to learn it, and when I got this grant contract with Catholic Social Services to coordinate a prevention program, that was when I started. They told me that they had no money for books, but that I could make handouts and make unlimited copies. So that was when I really started taking all the good information that was in these different chapters from these different books and pulling them together, piecing them together in an order. Plus, as long as I was doing those resources, I had all these articles that I had been, you know, if we were talking about bedtime, I had a bedtime article or whatever. So I really started pulling together all these literally hundreds of resources. And over those first couple of years, all I gave the parents were handouts where I had copied and, you know, actually wasn't copying and pasting back then. I don't know that I had much more than a very basic word processor, but everything was cited. You know, here's where I got this information, here's where I got that information. And if you look at the parents' tool shop, even today, every single chapter at the end of it has citations for where I got the information. So I literally was pulling together hundreds of resources into one and putting them within this structural format of the best order to learn it.
Well, what you said about, before we continue on, what you said about having your students buy, you know, five or four, maybe three, four or five books, it reminds me of history class in college. It was like,
yeah,
you know, you buy 10 books and, okay, we'll read a chapter out of this one, and come end of the semester, oops, we never got to that one. Guess you didn't have to buy it. And we're like,
yeah,
thanks, professor.
Right. There was a lot of duplicate information. That one of the things, and this is still even till today, PET and stuff, those came out like 60s, 70s, and here we are to almost up to 2010. So that's 40 to 50 years or so, depending on which of those you're looking at. The information in those programs was pioneer information, universal information, and we now have 40 to 50 years of scientific research that proves those techniques have really stood the test of time. So there is a lot of information out there within parenting that's duplicate. In other words, it's becoming clearer at this point that parenting is not a matter of opinion. It really is a matter of scientific research. As long as you're a human being, there are some principles of human behavior that apply. Obviously, there's going to be opinions. You know, all of us have the same goals in terms of parenting, but we're going to have different opinions about what's the best way to accomplish that goal. And what parents today have that we didn't have, you know, a whole lot of even back in the 60s and 70s when my parents were raising me, was research that really proved that this is what would work. And now we do. So all those resources, you know, come fast forward to today, and there's literally thousands of parenting resources out there. And the ones that are based on evidence and research will all say very similar things. It's just how they say it or how they present it. Or for me, on my Parents Tool Shop is the only resource that offers an actual problem-solving system question and answer that you ask yourself to figure out which of these great techniques do I want to use for this particular problem. So that's the unique piece that Parents Tool Shop offers, but I can't say that the advice or the techniques in there are anything unique to Parents Tool Shop, because they're those universal, proven, effective parenting principles that not everybody knows about, and except for those of us who do research-based parenting.
Is that the end of the clip, Chris? I do believe that's the end of the clip. I didn't catch what the end was. All right. So now, go to the survey and give a 1-star rating for Jody being interviewed by someone else. And keep in mind, what you're rating is the format, not the quality of the recording, because obviously us playing something pre-recorded versus saying it live is not going to be as good a quality, nor necessarily the content either. Like, you like the topic. What you're rating is how much you like the format of having someone else interview me. In other words, versus some of the other formats we're going to be showing you. So go to the survey, give a 1-4 rating for Jody being interviewed by someone else, so we know how much you like that format. And actually, at the end of the survey, if you do want me to be interviewed about a topic, you can suggest that topic at the end of the survey. You can also always send me an email at info@parentstooltalk.com. So, Chris, are you with me?
Yes, I am with you.
Okay, good.
I apologize. My attention was diverted for just a second, and I threw the headset on so quick I forgot to unmute myself. So sorry about that.
That's not a problem. Chris is actually finishing up one of the segments that he created, so I'm excited. That's a few segments away. Let's go to the next one, which is a special new segment that we have created called Seeing the World Through Kids' Eyes, which features funny things kids say. Now, this first time we're going to use some stories that I found on the internet and thought were pretty funny, but really, ideally, we want this to be a venue for you to share your stories, because I know you have a lot of them. So this time, Chris actually pre-recorded this, but in the future, what we want is to get your stories. So Chris, go ahead and roll the clip.
Okay.
And now, it's time to look at the world through a child's eyes with The Funny Things Kids Say.
5-year-old Clinton was in his bedroom, looking worried. When his mom asked what was troubling him, he replied, "I don't know what will happen with this bed when I get married. How will my wife fit in it?" 3-year-old Jack was watching his mom breastfeeding his new baby sister. After a while, he asked, "Mom, why have you got two? Is one for hot and one for cold milk?" 4-year-old Susan was drinking juice when she got the hiccups. "Please don't give me that juice again," she said. "It makes my teeth cough."
We hope to see you next time on The Funny Things Kids Say.
All right. Now, those of you know that you have got better stories than that. The middle one I can relate to. The question for me was, is one chocolate and is one regular? So, all right. I know you've got some good. I know you've got some good stories out there, folks. So, first of all, give it a rating if you like this idea of a format. You like the idea of parents sharing their funny stories, then rate that on a 1-4 scale, 1-4 stars, with 4 being the highest. I don't think I said that. Does that go without saying? We're kind of doing it like a movie. 1-4 star rating. And if you will, submit funny things your kids have said. If you want to record them yourself, that's fine. Or if you just want to send them to us, between Chris and my future son-in-law, we have some amazing voice talent. Plus, we have some kids of parents who have volunteered their voices, too. So I think we can make it very funny. Great content. So, all right. If you want, go ahead and let's move on to the next one. And we're back to more content. information. This one is going to be a sample of me presenting information. And this is, for those of you who did some of the teleseminar programs the last year or so, it's a clip from one of those. You're kind of familiar with that format. It's more me presenting information. Of course, those of you who have ever been on those live know that it's not one directional the whole time. I still tend to do more interactive, but this particular section of it is more me presenting so that we can get a sense of whether you like the difference between me presenting versus discussing, and that's going to be something we'll do later, one of our other clips. So this is a 5-minute clip from our featured resource this month, which offers practical solutions to the top 10 bedtime hassles so parents can get their kids in bed, asleep, and staying there all night. So Chris, roll that clip.
So let me give you an overview of what we're going to do. First of all, the whole issue of bedtime hassles, the reason it gets to be kind of complicated and such a common problem is that there's a lot of reasons why children might have, there's a lot of different kinds of bedtime problems. I've been able to identify about 10, kind of the top 10 bedtime problems. All of them, however, if you know the Universal Blueprint, and those of you who have taken the class or have been on some of the previous calls, we've gone through that process, the universal process applies to all of them. And so what I'm going to do first is just review what that basic is so that you can see the pattern that's here. And if I don't happen to exactly explain what's going on in your family, you'll be able to use this process to decide what kind of a problem it is and what kind of response would be most effective. And so if you would, let me finish saying what else we're going to do. So after we review that, that's just a real quick 5 minutes, 10 at the most, then we're going to go through those top 10 bedtime hassles. And talk about all the different ways that you can get your kids to bed, asleep, and to stay there all night. And then if we have time, we'll talk about some creative ideas for making fun bedtime routines and handling bedtime tantrums. But actually, those last two topics are articles on my website. There will be links to those included with the post-call resources. So I'm not feeling like it's quite as important to get to those topics if we get into some discussions or questions about those top 10 bedtime hassles. So the other thing is that if anybody has any questions, when we get about 10 minutes out, I'll see if anybody has any questions. It does not have to relate to bedtime, and we can do any kind of personalized problem solving or Q&A towards about the last 10 minutes of the call. So unless anybody has any questions, and let me just say again, those of you that are live, star 6 is to mute out. Star 7 will bring you back in if you want to answer a question or answer one of my questions. So unless somebody has anything, are we all ready to start?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. First, let's just go through misbehavior and the basic rules for identifying what kind of misbehavior you're dealing with and then picking the best tool. If you'll take out the handout that was the very last one I gave you the link to, those of you who listen to this as a recording later, this is the table that says misbehavior matching game. And what we're going to do is we're just going to review very quickly the 5 different types of misbehavior. All misbehavior will fit into one of these 5 types. So you don't have to know how to handle a gazillion different types of misbehavior. All you have to do is know how to solve these 5 kinds of misbehavior and know how to identify which category your particular situation fits in. So we're very quickly going to go through this, and you can maybe listen to this again, or actually we did an entire teleseminar on this. I believe it was April 2007. If you go to the archive page, parentstoolshop.com/HTML, all capital letters, /tele, T-E-L-E, archive, .htm. And that link is in all of your post-call resources. So you should be able to just click on that and go there. We did do a whole teleseminar. So if you want more information about this, you want to take this a little bit more slowly and digest this information if it's new for you, I encourage you to get that teleseminar archive package that has the recording, the handouts, and we can take it slower. Those of you who are graduates, this will be a good review for you. So let's go through. The 5 types of misbehavior are listed on the far left column of this table. There's 2 main kinds of misbehavior. One is unintentional. The unintentional, we call it, it's a parent problem, which all misbehavior is a parent problem, that involves unintentional misbehavior. We call that PU. It's unintentional if a child has not mastered the skills to behave properly in that situation. That's the simple definition that we're going to use for the purposes of this call, is that they're behaving this way because they haven't mastered a particular skill. And across, if you follow that first row across, the way you redirect that is that if they haven't mastered the skill, we teach them the skill. We don't always get quick fixes with PU misbehavior because there's that learning curve. It can take a while for them to master the skill. In the meantime, we still may need to discipline, and our definition of discipline is we may need to have some boundaries or structure or limitations that are in place while the child is learning the skills that we're teaching them. So in general, if we identify that one of the misbehavior, one of the bedtime problems is unintentional because they haven't mastered a skill, our approach is going to be to identify what skill they need and to teach that. And then we'll also talk about what discipline would be appropriate for that.
All righty. So that's a sample of me presenting information in a teleseminar format. So it's kind of like a mini teleclass. I have a topic prepared, people get a handout or an article online or something that we follow along with. It's not completely one-directional. I occasionally will ask questions, or people can still ask questions and all of that, but it's more prepared content and it's mostly me presenting it. So if you will, go to the survey and give a 1 to 4 star rating for how much you like it when Jody presents information. And this time it was on bedtime hassles. That'll kind of remind you what the topic was. Let us know how much you like getting information more presented to you. And if you do want to submit some topic ideas on some kind of how-to information that you want to learn more about, then you can either mention that in the comments section of the survey, or you can send your suggestions in an email to info@parentstooltalk.com. And again, that example was of me presenting information. So next, Chris, are you ready with your very special offering?
I am ready with my offering, and hopefully the offering is ready for me.
Okay. All right. I'm really excited to present an original sketch called The Files of Detective Merrily. This is completely different than anything else we've done before, and Chris and I have had great fun brainstorming creative, fun, multimedia ways to bring you the information besides lecture, discussion, and that kind of thing. And the multi-talented Chris Gooley, our producer, has created an original sketch using content from our top 10 and top 30 parenting myths resource, which I'll mention after the clip. And it's called The Files of Detective Merrily, who is going to explore and debunk common parenting myths. And we're considering this to be like a serial feature, and I mean serial-like series, not serial-like Cheerios. So, Chris, go ahead and roll that clip.
My name is Merrily, Mac Merrily. I work in the city. I carry a badge. I'm a cop. It was Monday, November 10th. It was cloudy in the city. 8:45 a.m., the chief asked me to help out an investigation at City Hall. Every day, thousands of citizens reduce their carbon footprint by riding their bicycles to work. Well, today, some lowlife decided to increase his criminal footprint by bending the spokes on every bicycle parked around that building. 9:04 a.m., I arrived on the scene. The situation was pretty much under control. As I rounded the corner of 4th and Main, I found Earl, a fellow detective, checking the damage to the bicycles along the northeast wall. Hello, Earl.
Oh, hey, Merrily. Hey, have you ever seen anything like this?
You asking if I've ever seen so many square wheels around City Hall? Hey, Earl, what's with you? You usually double over at my political jokes.
What? Oh, sorry, Merrily. I've got my mind on the job.
I'll say. You've been taking notes on this one bicycle for the last 10 minutes.
I have? Oh, yeah.
Maybe you should tell me what's on your mind.
It's just something going on at home. It's weird.
I like weird. I like it just fine.
Well, you see, my wife and I were having breakfast. Cheerios, actually. I'm having mine without bananas, and she's having hers with bananas.
Earl, are these Cheerios crucial to the story?
Well, kind of. I mean, they're not crucial, but...
Then perhaps you could advance to the post-Cheerio portion of the story.
But it all started with the Cheerios. One minute Don and I are talking about how we eat cereal differently. Next minute, things get all serious, and we start talking about Cody,
your son.
Yeah. You see, last night he rode his bike to the end of the street, and we usually tell him he can't go past the stop sign just down the road. He said he was older now and wanted to ride his bike further. I didn't see much problem with it, but Don said we should have disciplined him for breaking the rule.
Uh-huh.
And then it turned into this whole big argument about how we're not consistent in how we parent and that it's bad for Cody. That was her opinion, at least, and I didn't agree with it at first, but now I'm starting to wonder. Anyway, enough about that. Let's get back to work.
Listening to Earl talk about his predicament made me two things, confused and hungry. 10:15 a.m., after stopping by my apartment for a bowl of cereal, I decided to head back to the station to file my report. On the way, I made a stop to see Benny, the shoeshine guy.
Hey, Mac, how goes it?
Just fine, Benny. Can you give me a shine?
Yeah, sure. Hey, it looks like you got a Cheerio on your shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll come off easy enough. Hey, you got something on your mind there, Merrily?
How can you tell?
Well, usually when I shine your shoes, you plant both feet square on the platform better than any client I ever had. But today, your right leg is bent at a sharp, acute angle, placing your left shoe in a much better position for a good shine.
You're saying I should straighten out?
Well, it would sure help me.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. Nice and even. Now, let's help you. Tell me what's on your mind.
Benny, you think that if a kid that's got two parents that don't do everything exactly the same, it's bad for the kid?
What, you mean like they don't eat their cereal the same way?
Forget about cereal, Benny.
I can't. I'm looking right at this ugly shoe of yours.
I'm talking about one parent's controlling, the other one's permissive, that kind of thing.
Well, I'd say it depends on how far they both are from the balanced zone.
Is that like the Twilight Zone?
No. Here's what I'm talking about. Each parenting partner can have a different, unique, personal style of parenting. In fact, it's good for children to learn how to get along with people who have different personalities. Teaches them acceptance and flexibility and many of the other qualities that have made me the four-star shoeshine guy I am today.
Uh-huh.
But those differences have to be in a balanced zone. Think of it like a balancing scale. You put the weights closer to the center, the scale balances more easily. Put the weights further apart, and the scale swings back and forth like a seesaw.
I take it you were a big fan of recess when you were a kid.
Hey, if you could major in it, I would have probably gone to college.
So how does my buddy Earl know that he and his wife have balanced parenting styles?
Well, one thing you could do is watch for the signs of imbalance. If one parent's inconsistencies sabotage the other parent, or the child can use those inconsistencies to manipulate, that's when differences become damaging.
Thanks, Benny. I better get back to the station and give Earl a call.
You think he'll understand the whole balance idea?
He better. He was an architect before he joined the force. 1:32 p.m., I propped my feet up on my detective's desk and placed a local call to a very relieved fellow detective. Turned out he and his wife had tossed it over during lunch and begun working out a plan for becoming a consistent parenting team. When asked where I received this information about balanced parenting, I told him about a guy named Benny who got the Cheerio off my shoe.
I wish I had a recording of hand clapping. I hope you can hear that.
I heard it. I appreciated it.
That was great. Folks, I only read the script to that. I didn't get to hear how it ended up sounding. That was fantastic. I love the fact that Benny, the shoeshine guy, is giving parents tool shop advice because it really is so true. I mean, not that I don't know how many people have taken the class that are a shoeshine guy, but I have a lot of parents who take the class who say that later on out, you know, talking over the water cooler at work or I'll never forget this guy said he went out for guys' night and they all started talking about their kids and they were starting to debate something, you know, and I think it was about discipline or something like that. And he started giving advice or, you know, just helping them understand better based on what he learned in the class. And he said, like, everybody tuned out, you know, all the football stuff, they all were engaged. Even on the way home, they're, like, still asking him questions about what to do about this or that. And because he had learned the problem-solving system, which we're going to demonstrate today, he was able to help them understand and give advice. And so I am definitely not, like, the parenting expert. One of my greatest pleasures is when somebody gets enough information and masters the skills well enough that the system works for them and they can figure out any situation on their own. So this is great. So obviously my rating will be a 1 to 4 star, will be a 4 star, but we want to know what your rating is. This is one idea for a sketch that we had that would be some kind of a fun way of conveying information. Obviously, we eventually would run out of material on parenting myths, and we would start some other kind of a serial, as in S-E-R-I-A-L, series, not another Cheerio serial. So give this a rating on your survey. Give a rating of 1 to 4 stars for The Files of Detective Merrily Debunking Parenting Myths if you like that format for conveying some parenting information. And if you do want to know what the top 10 parenting myths are, or all 30 of them, you can either read the Parents Tool Shop book, or you can sign up for our free 7-day e-course. And that report is one of the bonuses that you get for that. So just go to the homepage of ParentsToolShop.com, and you can sign up. You can get both of those right there off the homepage. All righty. Next, we're back to parenting content and a segment of a teleseminar we did before. This format is different. This is where I ask a question to the group, and the group consists of me, other parents, and other parenting professionals. And it's on a subject that people, it either might be controversial, or people might have different opinions, or I want to generate people's ideas for, like, how do they handle this kind of a situation. So the sample is from the topic that day was picky eaters and other food issues. We did have several extension agents on the line that day, and they teach about good nutrition. So let's hear a sample of a discussion among parents, professionals, and I on picky eaters. Chris, roll that clip.
Well, let's generate our list of what all we want to talk about, because obviously we want to start with picky eaters because that's always a hot topic. It always seems to be an issue that every parent to some extent, I think, has to deal with at some point. Some of it's more extreme than others, and so we'll start with prevention, how to kind of prevent picky eaters, how to encourage healthy eating, and then we'll go to when there are problems, when you do have a picky eater, how to respond to that, and we can take that all the way up through maybe even discipline. You're like, so what do I do if they refuse to eat it kind of thing. And then we'll extend that open to just more other kinds of food issues besides picky eaters. And we'll see where that goes, and maybe we can generate some ideas. Once we get into the conversation, it might get our creative juices going. We'll think of some more ideas. So in terms of prevention, the only article I linked that I gave in the pre-call materials was to one of my articles on picky eaters, because a lot of that had to do with prevention. Just a whole lot of different ideas for how you can prevent picky eaters and some very short suggestions for when there's a problem, what to do. Actually I will tell you right now, Shana and another mom have contributed their tips around picky eaters or how to get kids to eat, and I'm going to include their comments and their tips in the post-call resources also, as well as some other articles. So let's just brainstorm among those of us that are here. Let's first of all start and share some ideas that we have about how to encourage children to eat healthy. What are some ways we can do that? What ideas?
This is Denise, and I think modeling healthy eating yourself is probably the key.
Mm-hmm.
This is Anna Mae, and involving the children in growing the foods or preparing the foods or helping plan some of the meal time is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And there's something about, and that'll really create the salad bar kids. When you do have a garden, that's a real good way to create salad bar, what I call salad bar kids, because they're a lot more likely to be eating those fresh fruits and vegetables that they've helped grow. And that's a fun project too, or hopefully it can be made fun. Now, what are some things, going back to Denise's idea about modeling, what are some things that we can say that go beyond just us eating healthy? But sometimes if we say something when we're trying a new food, or we prepare a different meal than maybe what we've had in the past, what are some things that we can say that will help children think more openly about trying new foods? What are some ways we can say that?
I'm thinking that if you were tasting a new food and maybe it wasn't exactly what you expected or liked, instead of saying, yuck, or I don't like that, you know, you can talk about what are the flavors that you're tasting or something about the texture or temperature, you know, whatever to show that you're evaluating the food for more than just appearance or some other issue, but you're really thinking about what you're tasting, what you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that can also relate to, you know, even adults have preferences, have food preferences. I personally have an issue with textures. And my daughter, I don't know if she gets this from me. Maybe it was the modeling thing, but she's the same way. If something's too lumpy, it kind of does a gag thing going down. So I have a thing about textures. I also have a very sensitive stomach, so something very spicy. So in some ways, I could be considered a picky eater, but I would have to say that it's only after I've tasted and evaluated something, and it has something to do with the spice or whatever, that's not my favorite. I don't remember where I was recently, but I went somewhere where someone else was cooking for me, and they made food that I probably would normally have not eaten. But because somebody else took the time to make it, I went ahead and tasted it. And I had my little Tums in my purse that if I had a bad reaction, I could have. But it's the issue for me, and this is something I've tried to teach my kids in terms of manners, is that when somebody prepares a meal for you, out of courtesy and respect for the cook, you at least try it. And so I have something I call no thank you helpings, which are you take a helping and you say thank you, but that's all I want is just one taste. So that it's not rude, and you're at least giving it a try, and who knows, maybe you'll like it after you take one taste.
All right, so that's our sample of a discussion where we get other people's ideas on things. And if you'll go to the survey and give that a 1 to 4 star rating, keep in mind, again, you're rating the format of actually discussing something. Now, you know, one thing to consider on this one is that you must have live callers to discuss something, and Blog Talk Radio does limit that to 5 callers, and so people can just hang up after they give an idea. But so need live callers and to have a live discussion. So go ahead and rate that 1 to 4 star on the survey for Jody Discusses a Topic with Parents and Professionals, specifically picky eaters, and to suggest topics you want to discuss with other parents, professionals, and me. You can either mention it in the comments section of the survey, or you can just send an email to info@parentstooltalk.com. All right, let's take one last commercial break before our final segment, and this is a sample of how we might share a featured resource or a sponsor's message. This month, our featured resource is the Halting Bedtime Hassles Teleseminar Resource Package that you heard a clip from earlier. With the help of Brady, who is a 5-year-old son of one of our Dream Team members, we crafted an entertaining 1.5-minute commercial, and we tried playing it last month, but we had technical difficulties, and we are hoping it will work right this time, and we actually are very pleased with the great job that Brady did, so we want to get a chance to have you hear that also. So, Chris, roll that ad.
It's the end of a long, busy day of parenting, activities, chauffeuring, appointments, meals, laundry. You're ready to settle down, relax, and recharge. Maybe even spend some quiet moments with your family.
Then you announce that it's bedtime.
I don't want to go to bed.
I don't want to go to bed.
You can't make me.
But I'm not tired.
I can't get sleep.
Mommy, I think there's a monster inside.
I'm still not tired.
Will you stay with me?
Can I sleep with you?
I need a drink. I need a drink.
I gotta go potty again.
I wanna stay up later just like you. And go to bed when you do and brush my teeth when you do.
I don't wanna go to bed.
Oh, wow. Doesn't that sound familiar? If bedtime battles are wearing you down and draining your patience, you're not alone. Getting children to bed happily and cooperatively is one of the most common challenges parents face. Of course, getting them to stay there is the next. Hi, I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of the award-winning book, The Parents' Tool Shop. I invite you to listen in on an hour-long discussion I had with other parents just like you. In it, I offer practical step-by-step tips for preventing or solving the top 10 bedtime hassles parents commonly face. I'm here to support you and assure you that these solutions usually work quickly, effectively, and permanently. So spend 1 hour with me, and soon your bedtime experience will transform from stressed to blessed. All right, there we go. That's the way it's supposed to sound. So thank you again, Brady, for your ad-libbing there on the end. You did a great job. So
yes,
everyone,
thank you,
go
Brady.
To your survey. So everyone, go to the survey and give a 1 to 4 star rating for how you would want a sponsor message to sound. If we will eventually be getting some sponsors, and we, you know, can either just say a typical thing. We thought this was kind of a more creative way to do an ad. So give a 1 to 4 star rating for this idea of doing an ad this way if we need to do a sponsor message. All right. The last pre-recorded segment we want you to rate is me interviewing a guest expert. And I actually, even though I did this last month with the bullying expert, which you may have listened to, I decided to pull out another one so you'd have another sample. This is from one of the first teleseminars I did over a year ago on the topic of corporal punishment. The clip will give you an introduction to my guest expert, Dr. Kirby Alvey. Alvey, and it'll tell you some of the topics we covered before you actually hear my final question and his answers. So it's the intro, I kind of give a summary, and then you'll hear that final question and his answers that offer some practical tips. So Chris, go ahead and roll this final clip.
Our topic today is corporal punishment, and our featured guest is Dr. Kirby Alvey. And he is a nationally and internationally respected authority on parenting and parent education and a scientist in parenting research. He is the executive director and founder of the Center for the Improvement of Child Caring, which has received worldwide acclaim for creating, delivering, and disseminating model parent training programs. Dr. Alvey is also the author of numerous books and articles on parenting, parent training, child development, and child abuse. And most recently, he founded NEPI, the National Effective Parenting Initiative, which is a nationwide movement to improve the overall quality of parenting in the United States. And I am totally behind NEPI. I'm on the board of advisors and the affiliates. So I'm very excited to have Dr. Alvey here to talk with us about corporal punishment. Welcome to the call, Dr. Alvey.
I'm happy to be here.
All right.
I interviewed Dr. Alvey for about a half hour on the definition of corporal punishment, research about corporal punishment, information about a bill in California to ban corporal punishment, the role of parent educators, and information on NEPI, the National Effective Parenting Initiative that he founded and that I serve on the advisory board. So I asked him one final question.
So if we could, because we're just about to the end of our half hour with you before we move into the Q&A section, and so we can explore this more in the Q&A section if folks want to, but we've said in order for parents to not use corporal punishment, they need to know other alternatives. Can you give us just, you've mentioned a couple of things that parents can do. Can you maybe just give us a short list of some alternatives that parents can use, and then maybe we can discuss that more in the Q&A or next month. I've actually got a question for the group on that. So what do you recommend?
Well, the first thing is really to analyze situations, analyze what unwanted behaviors you're finding yourself hitting or wanting to hit your kids over. Sometimes when you do that, you can find that you can change the environment so that the kids don't engage in those unwanted behaviors in the first place. It may be something to do with the way you've organized your home, the type of situations you're putting your kids in, when you're taking them out. You really need to analyze that you may be creating situations where the kids behave in such a way that you want to hit them. So you got to look at creating an environment that you're not going to be finding the kids engaging in unwanted behaviors. Another thing is to look at those unwanted behaviors themselves and not just focus on, you know, that he talks back to me or that they hit each other, you know, in sibling rivalry, but look at all of those unwanted behaviors in terms of what's incompatible with them. You know, if it's a problem between your two kids and they're, you know, clobbering each other, what's incompatible? Well, one of the things that's incompatible is that they get along, or that they are getting along, or that they are sharing things. And come alive during those times. You know, put more of your emphasis on what we call at CICC the do side of family rules. You know, we do talk to each other in a civil voice. We don't yell at each other. We don't hit each other. Focus on the do side when kids, because kids, all kids are also cooperative sometime, and most of them are cooperative a lot of times. So put more energy into the cooperative times. Come alive. Be spectacular with your children when they are behaving in ways that are consistent with your family rules.
And I would add to that, make sure that we teach them the skills for accomplishing what we want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want them not to hit when they have a disagreement, we have to take the time to teach them how to work things out without hitting.
And then also model that in our own relationships. Yes. That's another very important issue here. Do we use roughness in our relationships with each other's? You got to look at yourself. What is the model that you're putting out there for adoption for your kids?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way to, you know, that's another supposed alternative. And then with little kids, you can do distraction. You know, a child's getting into something, well, you can distract that child as it gets into something else. You can use really good timeout procedures. And timeout's not an easy thing to do. You know, a lot of people say it doesn't work. Well, one of the reasons it doesn't work for some families is they don't know how to do it.
Yeah,
and that's,
and
again,
that's,
an issue of training and education.
Yeah,
I mean, I could keep going on here.
I have to the group, yeah.
All right. So that's our sample on me interviewing a guest expert. And I am not an expert on every subject, so there are plenty of other experts out there that we can interview and bring to you to interview. So if you'll go to the survey and give a 1-4-star rating for Jody interviewing someone else. And in this case, the subject was corporal punishment. So give a 1-4-star rating if a format that you like is for me to interview someone else, a guest expert. And if you want to recommend someone else for me to interview, if you like that format and you want to offer some names of people that you think would be good to interview, you can put that in the comments section of the survey, or you can send an email to info@parentstooltalk.com. And the conversation there on corporal punishment is kind of a good lead-in to our final segment that we want you to rate, which is a live Q&A portion of our call. And it appears as though we don't have any live callers, which we usually do. Let me give you some information. If you would like to call in with a question, call in now to 347-205-9654. The area code is 347. The number is 205-9654. We also have the chat open and going if you want to go to parentstooltalk.com. Did I say that right? Parentstooltalk.com.
You said it right.
On the green. Okay. And I tend to mix that up with the other. And click on the green chat icon. Chris, do you recall where the chat icon is? I don't have that window up.
The chat icon is on the actual show window. The chat icon, you know what? I think I don't recall where it is, so let me go find out for you real quick.
Okay. Okay,
I'm going straight to the page right now.
Okay, thanks. And I do have some questions that people have asked in the past that I can address. I also was prepared to maybe just explain how I do questions, because having somebody live, kind of doing it can be either a mini coaching or it can just be a general question that I can answer. Those are all different ways that we can do that.
Okay, Jody, I've got an answer for you.
Okay.
So the chat icon is on our profile page at parentstooltalk.com. You will find a green box above Jody's picture, which is on the right side of the page. You will find a chat icon above that photo and to the right. There will be a little blinking text box, and you can click on that, and it will open up a chat window for you.
Thank you very much. now we've got that information for the future. I think that pops up once we go live. It's displayed a little bit differently. So, excellent. While we're waiting to see if anyone does call in, I'll say the number one last time, area code 347-205-9654. Let me just explain how I do Q&A, because I kind of have a secret formula for how I do it, and it's a secret formula I'm willing to share. Actually, the Universal Blueprint formula, decision-making formula that I kind of introduced a little bit in Chris's interview with me that we aired, it was the first clip. That whole decision-making process comes from two things. One is it's three questions and five steps, and those questions actually come from some of those pioneer materials, PET, early childhood STEP, and STEP, Dreiker's Four Goals of Misbehavior are the three questions. And I originally, whenever I would have a problem, and I'd call my husband, and I'd be all frustrated, and I'd say, I'm ready to kill the kids, I'm so frustrated, I don't know what to do, and yes, I got stuck also, because I didn't have any system for making decisions, and my logical engineer husband would start asking me these questions from the parenting class that I was teaching, and I saw a pattern to the questions he was asking me, and how it helped me move through to decide how to solve a problem. And so that combination between having the content and having somebody repetitively ask me these questions in a particular order and seeing how helpful that was, that's where I first came up with these three questions. And again, the questions weren't mine, but using them in that system is my idea. So I taught those to parents, and the parents who were taking my class found them to be very helpful. And so I'm thinking, okay, that's great, and we're getting amazing results, but it's just with the people that have actually learned the system. So it really got put to the test when the book went national in 2000, and I was doing a lot of media interviews, and people would call in from out of the blue. I didn't know these people. They didn't have any of my information. I hadn't taken any classes, and they would ask me a question, and I'd have to come up with some brilliant answer, in a matter of seconds. And I don't know the answer to everyone's problem. I don't know what your kid is like. I consider parents to be the best experts on their kids. However, clearly they were having a challenge and wanted some advice. So I would ask them these questions, not always in a very rote way, but I would explore with them what was happening, and usually it would only take 2 to 3 questions to figure out and get a clue of what was really going on, and once I knew what type of problem it was, then I knew what the best response would be. So that's really, I used the Universal Blueprint to do that Q&A kind of problem solving. And when it is a graduate, you can really see how they are able to use the system, and we're able to immediately just start talking about how to actually apply that system. So that's what I usually do with Q&A. We don't have any callers today, so we won't actually be doing a Q&A. I think what we'll actually do is just maybe start to wrap up. We've got just about 3 minutes to the end, so let me do a couple of announcements for this month and next before we have our exit music hit. So let's do a wrap-up here. This was our Harvest Edition. We appreciate your feedback and opinions on the different kinds of formats that we had, that we'd like for you to do a survey. That's at snipurl.com/radio survey. Again, that's www.snipurl.com/radio survey. The survey will be up until December the 15th. So please go in, even if you're listening to this after the fact, if it's before or on December 15th, go in there and fill out the survey while you listen. This month, instead of sending out post-call resources, I'm giving away a $10 thank you gift certificate to the first 100 people who do the survey. And that gift certificate will be in effect until the end of the year, until December the 31st. And then next month in December, actually, I will be on a 25th anniversary trip to Mexico, the day of our December 12th show. So Chris, my producer, is going to replay a fun discussion we had last year on holiday parenting issues, such as how to teach children to be grateful givers, shop with children without whining, begging, or tantrums, handling embarrassing misbehavior in front of relatives, and a really thought-provoking discussion we had about telling kids the truth about Santa. So details will be in our December newsletter, and everyone who signed up for the teleseminar series will get a reminder. So just go to parentstoolshop.com/tele to register for that. So, And if you like this edition of Parents Tool Talk, you can always access past teleseminars and resource packages by going to parentstoolshop.com/tele and then click on the flashing button. And there's literally dozens of resources there for you, really practical tips on handling tantrums and morning delays, sibling squabbles and preventing power struggles and more. So thank you again for joining us today. Please remember to complete the survey at sniprl.com/radio survey. And please enjoy spending your $10 gift certificate this holiday season. I wish all the Americans a happy Thanksgiving this month and send all of our international listeners a happy holiday wish too. Take care, everyone.